It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific.
To give up our own oil and gas and buy the energy that we need from countries that hate us. So those countries that hate us will have more money to buy weapons to try to kill us.
Coast to coast and around the world from the America Out Loud Talk Radio studios.
Now, I realize you can't fix stupid, but you can vote it out.
It's time for Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
And another $95 billion American taxpayer dollars are going out the door around the world. I'm Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. You can go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out if purchasing precious metals within your IRA and your 401k is a good way to go to protect your savings. As we start this hour and we take a look at this legislation that passed on Tuesday afternoon in the Senate, as expected, it was passed over the weekend by the House of Representatives and Speaker Johnson. And Speaker Johnson started hearing those voices again about vacating the chair, mainly Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie. Is that the right move for the Republicans to make right now? I'm going to get into a little bit about this because I have some thoughts on it, and I want to share those with you. And I would also love to have your feedback, as always. You can find me on X at Real Booker Scott, or you can send me an email also at BookerMediaUSA@gmail.com. Either one of those works, or go to AmericaOutloud.news, go to the show page, The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott, and right there you'll find a place that you can email me. So I would love your thoughts on anything that we discuss on this program. As you look at this bill that passed, the $95 billion, and I'm not happy about it. And I'm not happy about spending another $60 billion in Ukraine, which, by the way, up until this point, have allocated about $113.4 billion to Ukraine in just over 2 years in their battle against Russia. So out of that $113.4 billion, only about $60 billion has actually been spent. This $60 billion, the majority of it, this new $60 billion, is going to replenish the Americans' military supply that has been depleted over the last 2 years in sending munitions to Ukraine. So I think that amount is somewhere close to $50 billion. And obviously, we need that. But was there any way to actually stop this money from being passed at any time? What were your expectations of Speaker Johnson and the Republican House of Representatives? When you look at the numbers of the people that supported it in the House and also in the Senate, remember, this bill had been passed back in February in the Senate. Over 75 senators back in February voted for this, so they sent it to the House, and it's been sitting there, and now we have this bill that goes back to the Senate after the changes in the House of Representatives. The Senate sat on it on Monday because they were closed due to Passover holiday. But when they got back in business on Tuesday, they quickly passed it. So 81 senators out of 100, which is a huge majority if you're not good in math, is they believe that it's a good thing, that it's a good idea to support Ukraine with another $60 billion, Israel, Gaza, and other places around the world like in Africa, that it was a good idea to spend this money. So if 81% of the senators believe, and over, 70% of the U.S. House of Representatives, out of 435, there were about 120 no votes on that, what are we missing? Why is it that we are in such the minority for those of us that believe that sending money all around the world is not a good thing? On the other side of this, the argument that could be made is that the Republicans, with the power in the House of Representatives, they don't have the ability to govern. And you see stories like that all over. In fact, you see people like Newt Gingrich even defending Speaker Mike Johnson. Here are some things that former Speaker Newt Gingrich said to Politico over the weekend. The question was posed to him. You tweeted the other day that Speaker Johnson is working to lead the most complicated House since the Civil War. That's a pretty bold claim. What makes his job uniquely hard? Gingrich's answer? Well, he has the narrowest majority in modern times. And it's really not a true majority because he's got six or eight narcissist people who think that they individually get to screw up everything. And Politico asked him, "Do you want to name names?" And Gingrich replied, "I think they self-define. I'd start with Matt Gaetz, but I would say the list goes on. He's super narcissist. So first of all, he doesn't have a real majority. He has a technical majority for the purpose of organizing committees and theoretically controlling the flow of legislation. But he doesn't have a working majority on the Rules Committee. He doesn't have an ability to deliver 218 votes for virtually anything. He has 30 or 40 members who ideologically wake up every morning knowing that they're going to vote no. They're not sure what the issue is, but they know they are going to vote no. And then he's got the last 30 or 40 members who need to do something to go on television and send out fundraising emails. And frankly, they don't care if they screw up our party and our country, if that's what it takes for them to be so important. So Johnson has an enormous, complicated problem." Those are the words of Newt Gingrich.
"I've been working on the House floor just now, talking with other members, asking for co-sponsors in my motion to vacate Mike Johnson as Speaker, because we have completely lost confidence in his leadership now that he is allowing Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer to completely control the House. This has never happened before in history, and I'm pleased to announce that I've just added another co-sponsor, and that is the great patriot from Arizona, Paul Gosar."
And that's the familiar voice of Marjorie Taylor Greene from Dalton, Georgia. Actually, not from Dalton, Georgia. She's a carpetbagger there. She's actually from DeKalb, Georgia. She moved up there to win that seat, which is heavily Republican, heavily MAGA, heavily Donald Trump. 75% of them voted for him. And I'm sure that the things that she says resonates well with her voters to get her reelected. But I wonder how her message resonates with those in other congressional districts that are in the margin of error to win or lose a race. Are the things that she is doing that is very popular in her district and maybe very popular with you? I don't disagree with what she says, but I don't know that now is the time to vacate the chair. And I don't know that her message is the message that needs to be sent out for the Republican Party as we come to what is the most important election in American history in November. You see, the Republican Party is one that cannot govern. That's the message that the Democrats are sending out to their voters. They are saying Republicans can't govern. So do the Republicans want to play into the hands of the Democrats here going into the election like they did in the 22 midterm when they gave them the abortion platform with Lindsey Graham? Is this a good idea strategically? I know politically for Matt Gaetz and for Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar, their base loves it, and I'm sure you like it too. But is it the thing to do to gain more seats in the House of Representatives? Is it strategic? And then let's look at it from the standpoint of what happens if you vacate the chair. What are your expectations? What do you think will be different? Again, you have a very slim majority. You heard what Newt Gingrich said there. I read you his quote. It's very slim majority. You have 4 or 5 months, 6 months before the election. What are your expectations? You have a Senate that voted 81 senators for $95 billion with another $60 billion to Ukraine. What exactly do you think is going to happen if you vacate Mike Johnson now, and who do you put in place of him? What do you expect will happen? Do you think there's going to be more impeachments? Do you think people will actually be removed from office if Speaker Mike Johnson is gone? Do you think they'll stop spending money in Ukraine? I really think the ship sailed when Speaker Mike Johnson and the Republicans failed to shut down the government. At that point, it was too late. And strategically, the Republicans, they don't have the power to vacate another chair. Let's take a look at what happened with Kevin McCarthy when he was elected. It took 16 votes just to get him elected. And he was on thin ice the entire time. I never wanted him in to begin with. I think he was a terrible choice for Speaker. The 118th Congress under Republican control has been a disaster. The only thing they have done is raised the debt ceiling $3 trillion. That's it. So now, what do you expect? Do you want to give the Democrats something to run on in November by saying the Republicans can't govern? Look at what they've done. It took 16 votes to get Kevin McCarthy. Then they threw him out. Then they went through 4 votes to get Speaker Mike Johnson, who then they threw out. The Republicans don't need to be in charge. They can't govern.
I do believe in a one-seat majority, there could be 1 or 2 or 3 of my colleagues who would take a bribe in one form or another in order to deprive the Republicans of a majority at all. And let me tell you what a Democrat speaker looks like. Their leadoff hitter will be declaring Donald Trump an insurrectionist and setting up a barrier to him being able to become the president of the United States if he is lawfully and legally elected, as I expect he will be. That'll be their leadoff hitter. And then the chaser to that shot will be a massive spending package that looks a lot more like the American Rescue Plan. They will blow past every concept of every cap ever imagined. You'll be looking at universal basic income. You could be looking at packing the Supreme Court. And so the risk that 1 or 2 of my corrupt Republican colleagues might take a bribe, take a walk, feign an ailment, and flip this thing to the Democrats is a risk that is too high for me at this time.
And of course, that is the familiar voice of Matt Gaetz, and he brings up a really, really good point here. He doesn't want to vacate the chair now. And maybe not for strategic reasons for the election, but because if the Democrats gain control, which he said it, maybe there's 1, 2, 3 of his Republican colleagues that take the bribe, take some money, take an offer of some type of legislation to help their constituents, that now the Democrats have control of the House, and they put forth so much legislation, they change the Supreme Court. The debt ceiling is raised, the spending is out of control, even more than it has been. So that's the other part of it as well. So is now the time to vacate the chair? I say no. And people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, they need to understand strategically what they are asking for. They are in the minority by far, and they need to learn how to come up with solutions. And maybe that's a question we should ask ourselves as we get into this live X space here in just a few minutes, as we always do on Wednesday night. We'll ask the people. We'll take the pulse of the people in a town hall. What do you think? Should we pivot to positivity in a message, or do we just continue to wallow in this misery? Can we offer solutions? Or do we prefer to be on the side that just complains about the way things are? I'm not sure. But we need to start thinking about things strategically as we get close to this election, because the objective is to be 30, 40, 50 seats up. We don't want to stay in a precarious position where there is 1, 2, 3, 4 seat majority, because regardless of who the speaker is, it's not going to matter if the majority stays that slim. So the objective is to think about the election in November, get more seats, not less. And at that point, in January of 25, let's address the speaker at that point. Let's find out where things are. Let's get the speaker that best fits our values and the things that we're looking for. And at that point, let's move forward and make a difference with our solutions instead of just complaining about things. So we're going to get into all of this right now in this X space here on The Truth Be Told. Okay, so right now, we don't know what the future holds for our money. So that's why I bought a little precious metals like gold and silver, just 1% of my overall savings, but enough to give me a peace of mind. And that's why I decided to partner with Goldco, because now I can give you something I think you'll love. Go to BookerLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit, and it shows you how to get into precious metals tax-free and penalty-free, even if your money is still in a retirement account like an IRA or a 401k. And you may already qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. You've seen the writing on the wall. We talk about it here all the time. Go to BookerLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit, because this is about taking back control of our privacy and our freedom. I can't predict the future, but I can prepare for it, and you can too. At the very least, Get the answers. Become educated. Know what your choices are. Take action. Defend your freedom, your privacy, and your future. Go to BookerLikesGold.com to get your free 2024 gold and silver kit.
Fiction becomes a religion. Places where nothing is clear. Sanity and reason just disappear.
Chairman, there are multiple members that could yield you time. I would ask that you...
I will have you physically removed from this meeting if you don't stop.
Whoa, whoa, I've been searching for everything, anything, just a tiny shred of proof. I'm just looking for the truth. I'm just looking for
more truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Lean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Every afternoon at 3 o'clock, you can hear attorney Tom Renz right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. That is followed up by the Constitution Study with Paul Engel at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. As you heard there in the first segment, we're going to get into a conversation like we do every Wednesday night here on the program. And today we're talking about vacating the chair. Is it the right thing to do right now? Politically, strategically, and then do you think the Republicans, do you think we are capable of pivoting our message to positivity, or do we prefer to stay where we are in the minority and complain and bitch about everything? Where are we comfortable? Are we comfortable governing? Can we prove that we can govern? Those are the questions we want to get to here in this town hall, the pulse of the people on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Let's start the conversation with Danny. Danny, go ahead.
Okay, Booker. I appreciate you having me. I have given some thought to it as soon as they started mentioning vacating the chair. And I thought, this is crazy. These people do not know what they are doing. Because with the slim of majority as we have, vacating the chair right now, that does nothing but give it to the Democrats. And if they think that won't backfire on them, they're crazy.
When you say give it to the Democrats, are you talking about giving them are you talking about giving Hakeem Jeffries the speaker position by giving it to the Democrats? Or are you talking about the election in November?
Giving the House speakership to Jeffries.
Yeah, well, Matt
That's
Gaetz.
Exactly what would
happen. In the first segment of this hour, I played a Matt Gaetz audio where he is against vacating the seat right now because of that reason. He thinks that there are 2 to 3 Republicans that could probably make a deal with the Democrats that would then elevate Hakeem Jeffries to Speaker of the House, that then would bring on possibly a change in the Supreme Court. It could bring on trillions of more spending. What did he say? Universal income. Maybe that would happen in the next 6 or 7 months. And that's so I agree with you. I don't think it's a good idea. And I think they should stop talking about it.
It could also take Trump out of the election, essentially, because they can push through some kind of motion, to keep him off of the ballot somewhere.
Yeah, it's possible. And Matt Gaetz mentioned that as well. That was something else he mentioned. Thank you for your comments, Danny. Appreciate you. Let's go down to Snickers. Snickers, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Booker. I've been really enjoying listening to this. I usually sit back and don't say anything. So if I'm wrong, please let me know. I've been kind of watching this. And if they would have not passed this money to go to Ukraine, Israel wouldn't have gotten their money, which I don't hear many people talking about. So it seemed like the only way, it seems strategic to me, that so Israel could get their money. Now they're talking vacating, and all they're going to do is give it to Hakeem Jeffries if they do that. Our Senate needs to get it together, because the way they're going at it now, it's like, how are they expecting support from people when they can't even support each other?
Yeah, and I agree with you. Do you think that we can pivot to positivity in a message, though, in a bigger conversation? Because we sit here in these conversations quite frequently on Wednesday nights, and we complain and we bitch about this and that. But what are the solutions? What is the positive message that we can carry forward into this election in November? Do you have any thoughts on that, or do you just prefer to wallow here where we are in, I call it, negativity?
No, I would like to start seeing things change, because when I sit in these spaces, all I hear is the same stuff every day, but no one ever coming up with a solution. And we need to find a solution somewhere, because when the Republicans aren't standing together, how are they going to expect the people that are out there watching this happen stand together? I mean, so what? Ukraine got the millions and billions of dollars that they were looking for. You know what? It was going to happen no matter what. There was just no way around it. But at least something else got done in there that the Republican side wanted done that would have never been pushed through hadn't this happened. And why do they keep fighting it? I don't understand.
Well, it's not all of them fighting it. And you can see that from the vote that was taken. Let's go to Margo. Margo in North Carolina. Go ahead.
Boy, I wasn't expecting you to catch me that quick. But Booker, I just want to say that, listen, we see a lot of hate in this world. But what you don't see is all love. There's a lot of people in America that are standing up for the right things right now. And they're not doing it in a negative way. You don't see the conservatives rioting. You don't see us really going after each other. There are some that do. Like that. There's always that, I'll use the 80-20 rule, Booker, but the majority of people really try to support each other. We try to find ways to help each other, whether it's in our states or in our federal government. We're trying to help each other. And I want to highlight that. Like, let's talk about the people that are sticking together through it all. The no voters that are saying, no, I'm not going to put up with that, like Dan Bishop from my state. There's very few of them, but they're out there, and they've got our back, and we have to have theirs. And I consider that a positive.
Margo, when you look at in the framework of the election in November, how do conservatives or Republicans get the message out to those that are sitting on the fence right now? What is the message of positivity that we give them? More than just some of us sticking together and fighting the good fight, what is the message to the masses of positivity to make them vote so that ultimately we can get more control in the Senate, so that we can get the right people confirmed to actually drain the swamp, and we pick up 30 or 40 seats in the House of Representatives, so then we can start making a difference in the things that are important to us. What does that message look like to you? What are the two or three things that we all agree on that should be selling points to those independents and those people in the middle, those squishy people that haven't made up their mind yet?
I think the number one thing, and I'm going to use Maslow's theory, safety. We have to feel safe. We have to feel safe in our country. We have to feel safe in our homes. We have to feel safe in our community. That's the number one thing. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, elderly, young, you want to feel safe. And that's a message that we know that Republicans stand behind. So that's the number one message. The second message is we are a country. We are a nation. And we have a national perspective. We have to stick together on the United States of America and standing for our country. People that are born in America, and even if they're born overseas and they become American citizens, they don't carry flags from other countries around. That's not patriotic. And patriotism does matter. And I think the third thing I would say is there's a national epidemic of uneducated people. And it's our job in a positive way to educate people about the issues. And that sometimes may come across in a way that doesn't seem very, you know, positive, but it is. If you can turn one person's mind from a negative perspective about a candidate by showing them the truth, because the truth is always the most important thing, then you win.
And Margo, you had two of the three, and I thought you were going to hit all three of them the way I see it. And I do see a sovereign nation with secure borders as one of those things. And I tie safety and security into that when you look at the rapes and the murders that are happening and the terrorists that are in our country. We don't know who's here. The government doesn't know who's here. They don't know where they are. So that ties back to safety and security. And I thought you were going to go to education. When I look at cities like Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Detroit, and the failing public education where our children are failing miserably and our public education is failing, I think school choice is another one of those that you could throw in there as maybe the three big things that could be positive that we could sell, because all three of those things affect all Americans. And of course, the economy and energy independence, not energy dependence, is another one of those. Let's go to Janet. Janet, go ahead in Arkansas.
Well, hello, everyone. Yeah, I don't agree with most of everything that any of the people in the government say anymore. There is no difference. I can't tell a difference between any of the people that voted to give all that money away. All they had to do was write up a bill to send money to Israel. That's it. Then they could have gave them the money, but they won't do that because they want to give money to everybody and they want you to pay for it for the rest of your life. And they want your great-great-grandkids to be in debt when they're born. The thing to run on is when I talk to people, I say, if you had $180 million, what would you spend it on? And then almost every person says the same thing. Oh, fix the border or fix our schools to start drilling again so we can have cheaper gas. That all the same things. It doesn't matter whether they're black, Hispanic, white, man or woman. Okay, they all want the same thing. I'm sorry about my rooster. Everybody else has dogs, but I have chickens. The way to fix that is to push the people that voted against this monstrosity that is going to be weighing on us for 100 years, probably.
And I don't think we'll. Let's get into that, because I think you're preaching to the choir here. I agree with what you're saying. The question is how. You know, we can sit and we can talk about it all the time, but unless we start moving the ball down the field and understanding how to do it, then nothing is really going to change. So how do we get that to take place?
It's our states, okay? Every state has blue cities in it, okay? If you go and you look at every one of your big cities, they're blue. They're run by people that want to spend your money and change your schools, do all the things that you're against. That's why people are moving to the rural areas. The way to change it is by going and running for office in your city, signing up to work the polls, signing up to back someone you trust and help them run for office, go door to door, get signatures, get more people registered, all those things. Get your church group to help you. Get your little sewing group. Get different groups like that together and start fighting for your town. Because if we can take back our towns, we can take back our cities, and we can take back our states, then we'll have the federal government back where it belongs, under our control, where it was supposed to be from the beginning. That's the only way we're going to win. They've already proven they're not doing it for us. They're doing it for themselves. They're spending this money for themselves. I don't know how they're getting the money back to themselves, but that's exactly what's going on. And there's no difference. If you take any of them and you stand them side by side, by the way they voted, they've proven that they're not for me or you or safe borders or anything. Yeah, they said, if you don't pass this, we're not going to give money to Israel. But guess what? They, all of them, have the same rights to say, we're going to only run one thing through to get the money, and that is the money for Israel. They could have done that, but guess what? They didn't, because they had to add all their pork to it, because we are nothing but an open wallet. And until we take it back and fight for what is ours, which is our states, then we're never going to win.
Okay, so don't leave yet, Janet. I have another follow-up for you. If all of those things are important, and we're now 5 or 6 months away from an election, we had one in 22, we know what happened in 2020, when do we start these things?
I'm already doing it, and I've been talking about it for 2 years.
Okay.
To get our town. That's why we have Sarah Huckabee, okay? I helped work on her stuff and did commercials with her and all kinds of stuff. And guess what? She won. She's our governor, and she's made a difference already since she's been in office. That's how you win. You fight for who you trust, and you do everything in your power, and you get your friends, your family, your churches, your schools, whatever organizations you have, and you get people to fight, and you will win. But that's what we got to do until people are ready to take back their country by taking back their towns and their cities and their states, then I don't see how we're ever going to win. But that's a positive note, because we did it. We did it in Arkansas, and other states can do the same thing.
For those of you listening on America Out Loud Talk Radio, you are listening to a live X space, formerly Twitter, and this is an area in X where people can come together, like-minded people. You can talk about anything. And these people you're listening to are all over America. Janet there is in Arkansas, where she has roosters. So you may have different sounds coming from people's homes, because that's where they are participating in this, just to let you know what's happening there. And if I have time before this hour is over, I want to talk about a strategy with churches that can make a difference in both state house races and, most importantly, congressional districts. It's a really good strategy. It's being done in the country. And if we have time, I'll get to that. Let's go back to the state of North Carolina. Let's go to FedUp. FedUp, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, you say about the strategy and positivity, and, you know, that's where I think we need to really go to the successes that were had by the previous administration under Trump and go back to the America First agenda. Now, in part of that, and some of the independents I've talked to, you know, really hammering on the border, really hammering on the safety and security. And, you know, some of the ones I've talked to are just as mad that we're sending money to Israel as sending it to Ukraine, because of the fact that, okay, that every dime of that should be going to secure our border. That was something I agreed with when Vivek said that on the debate stage. Let Israel do what they need to do to take care of their thing. Let everybody else do their thing. But we have an invasion to take care of, and we should not be sending one thin dime anywhere till our border's secure. And plus the other things. I mean, we've got homeless veterans, for gosh sakes. And we're sending money over to foreign wars, really?
Well, and I hear you, and you probably know that I agree with you. My ideology is right there with yours. The border should be secure. What's happened has been a joke. Them not removing Mayorkas is a bigger joke. What the Senate did in just thumbing they flipped off the Constitution and their obligation to have a hearing. And I found it funny. I don't know if you caught this, but it was Schumer that said that policy differences cannot be impeached, and that's why they were unconstitutional to bring those articles of impeachment. But yet for 3 years, we were told it wasn't policy And yet that's what they used as an excuse to get out of it. It seems like that just went over the top of every Republican's head. But let's get back to the message, because I think you hit on something I think is important, and that's comparing and contrasting the way things were with the way things are. Let's talk about that, Fed Up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we have exact counterpoints that we can show. We can show, you know, you talked about education. We can show Trump funded the historically black colleges. You know, he started the opportunity zones, you know, with the economy. You can show the difference in inflation, gas prices, all these things that affect people's wallets. You know, there are things that can be shown. You know, we're seeing a movement in the black community. There's a compare and contrast directly with him and Biden to show the bill that he passed that let a lot of folks out of jail that were basically put in by Biden's crime bills. You know, this is stuff that wasn't pushed hard enough in 2020. And I think they really need to go back that. Now you've got the 4 years of the Biden presidency and what it has done to the economy. And that's where they need to hammer, because we know at the end of the day, people, if they are hurting, they vote with their wallet. People vote on other issues when they feel all good and dandy. But if they're hurting in their pocketbook, that's what they're going to vote with. And like Margo said, also, if they don't feel safe, that's what they're going to vote with. And that's the way I think he can win back the suburban moms, the mean tweet moms, as I like to call them, you know, that don't like how Trump talks, don't like his this. But when they don't think their kids are safe and their kids are going hungry, they're going to vote for Trump over Biden. But you have to show that contrast. Leave all of their stuff on the table. When you look at any poll, and I'll end on this, when you ask people their importance, all that foreign stuff and some of these other things that everybody's so worried about are way down on people's list because they're worried about the economy and safety. So hammer on those. Ignore the other stuff. Don't even talk about it.
I agree. Keep the message positive. And then, are we going to actually do that? Are we on social media going to pivot our message to positivity? Is that what we're going to start doing? Or are we going to continue to battle with other conservatives over tertiary arguments? I've got time for one more. Let's go to Lou in Arizona. Lou, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Booker. I think that there is a communication difficulty. And so you had previously stated about what the vote was in the House, and then what we saw the vote was in the Senate today, referring to, you know, the funding. And I think that what we're seeing is we're seeing a communication breakdown between two different factions of the Republican conservative side party, right? And so we have some folks who are in Washington that are hearing this message that we must do this, we must do this. And then we have some other folks, and you mentioned, for example, Matt Gaetz and things like that, that are actually listening to the people. And the people are saying no when they're coming in and they're voting as that. Somebody used a term over the weekend that I really liked, and it was Representative Congressman Corey Mills out of Florida, and he called it protectionist, right? And that we need to be protectionist to America. And that's what we're not seeing in a lot of our representatives. And I think that we need to communicate that to our representatives. I also think that we need to do it in a positive way, saying that we're going to throw out Speaker Johnson because maybe he's not performing the way that we see is not the way to do it. What we need to do is communicate with him our wants and our needs as a nation, just the same way as some of the representatives who were waving the flags and things like that. We need to let them know that that is inappropriate, that we do not stand for that, and that they need to, you know, be listening and be open to the feedback of the American people.
Thank you, Lou. I think you make a lot of good points. And let me just say this about why people inside the Beltway believe it's so important to fund this Ukraine-Russian thing. I go back to something Jake Sullivan said September 29th, 2023. It was in a Q&A, and I came across this at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I ended up watching. It was an hour and a half long. And he said this about Ukraine. The reason why we have to fund Ukraine, and a lot of people will say it's because it's a proxy war. We don't want Russia to come into Eastern Europe. There's a part of that. But ultimately, he said, if we don't stop Russia from their aggression in Ukraine, then we are giving the green light to China to do the same thing to Taiwan. And I found that very interesting, and a light bulb came on in my head, and I said, okay, that's what everyone believes inside the Beltway. The interesting part was that when Biden met with Xi back in January, in San Francisco, Xi said it was inevitable that we're going to get Taiwan anyway. We will be reunified with Taiwan. And everything that the Biden administration is doing overseas, and I think FedUp makes a good point, that most Americans really don't care about overseas things. They care about their pocketbook and their children and their own lives. That's what we live. But, I think it's important to understand the Biden administration's failures on everything overseas and how it has affected us daily, because it is affecting our lives, because it really all goes back to the oil and being energy independent. When you look at the whole world stage and everything geopolitically.
If you ask me, this whole world is gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life. This place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, it is Unleash the Political News Hour, followed by the National Security Hour at 8 o'clock Eastern. And then at 9, it's After Dark with Rob and Andrew. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are live inside an X space having this conversation about the Republican Party and vacating the chair. And Is it time now for the election of 24 that we start to pivot to a positive message? Is it time to get along? Maybe that's the bigger question. Let's go to Mehdi. Mehdi, go ahead.
Booker, thank you very much for letting me speak. And I'll be very brief about this, about the funding of the Ukraine. The 19 only voted against it. That just blows my mind. It just shows us how out of touch these people are with reality and what is actually happening in Ukraine. I believe in the positive message, but I think what we should carry a rage in us still, a rage of action, because I'm getting to the point where me and my brother were just traveling my mom's funeral, and we're ready to turn off head up 84. And I'm sitting there, and I've actually, this is a true story, and I'm wondering if I want to make him stop the car so I can just get out and walk to Washington, D.C., stand in front of a White House that has a fence in front of it, and just hold the sign that said, get the F out. Because I'll stop there.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Let's turn that rage into positivity. Let's turn it into votes, because the key to the 2024 November election is going to be overwhelm them. We need as many people as possible to vote, and that's going to be the key to the election. If we want to win, if we want change, that's how it's going to be done. So let's turn that rage into something positive. Let's pivot to positivity. Let's go to M. Witte. M. Witte, go ahead.
Thank you, Booker. Great space. Love listening. I think we need to really enforce the People's Act. When you look at the millions of dollars between billions in total between no accountability with the Pentagon money, the DOJ, the Department of HUD, the Department of Education, there's no accountability where our tax dollars are going. All we see is funding for Ukraine. I think the biggest slap in the face is watching Congress wave Ukrainian flags in our House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, when we look at the accountability of these departments and the loss of funds, we the people need to hold them accountable. And it goes back to voting, but I think it's much more than that. It's having these spaces, it's having the X account, it's education to the layman, right? And realizing, you know, hey, do you understand the real salary of a congressman? We pay their meals, their lodging, their housing, when they go back, their flights, when they go back to their home constituents. They start out around 152. They're all multimillionaires. I go back to the word accountability. And we have to have a transparent conversation. The people need to rise up and say, hey, I know I paid $5,000 in taxes. Where is that money going? Where's the live footage of the war in Ukraine? What I've been able to detect is Kyiv, very stabilized, dining, dancing. People seem to, in certain areas, seem to be living larger than the U.S. American citizen. And I do agree with you, Booker, the churches have a responsibility. And I understand the adage and the Constitution with division between church and state.
Sure.
But real evangelical Judeo-Christians should not be silent in the pulpit about what's going on. You don't have to make it a Biden-Trump scenario. You have to be true to the Word of God. And what God, if you're a Christian, and we know these times are turbulent, but you can't get in the pulpit and ignore what's going around us every single day, from the gas station to housing to groceries. We can't to transgender to our school systems. We need accountability.
Yeah. And I agree. And I agree with that. But since you bring up the churches, and I mentioned it in the last segment, let me get to this strategy, because I think it's worth bringing up, because it's something that can be done. For those of you that are listening, maybe you go to a mega church. I do. Has 8,000 members. Did you know that 50% of the people that go to church don't go vote? So let's take my church as an example. 8,000 members, 4,000 won't go vote. 80% of churchgoers are conservative. They would vote Republican. So if you just use those numbers and then take six churches within a congressional district, then you can actually flip seats, especially when you look at a seat like Boberts in Colorado. I think she won by 674 votes last time. You can literally flip seats with six mega churches in a congressional district. This is being done in Chino County, California. You can do it too. So if you want to take that rage and do something about it, that's an idea. And in states where ballot harvesting is legal, then you can have a ballot harvest Sunday and provide people a voter guide. You don't have to get into politics. Just say, this guy does full-term abortion, this guy's against abortion, and you choose. Fill out your ballot, we'll take it for you. So that's legal in places where it's legal.
That's so true, and I think the problem is a lot of churches really remember it's a 501(c). It's a nonprofit. So they keep that mentality of the separation between church and state so they don't lose that status.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation, but I love your idea.
It's not mine, but I had a show on it, and someone shared it with me.
A mega church in Ohio that actually just provided a little pamphlet on, you know, individuals and what they stood for and what they did not. It didn't become a preaching message, but it was available.
Yeah. And I'm a big separation of church and state person. And I'm considered evangelical. That's fine with me. I don't care. I think if I'm a Christian, you better consider me that, because that's what I'm charged to do. So I have no problem with that. But anyway, that's a strategy, and it's working. It can work. And when you take it to state houses, which may be more important even than Congress, it's even easier. And it only takes two of those mega churches in a state district or a state Senate district to flip a seat. So maybe use that. Take it. We've got time for a couple of more people. Let's go back to FedUp. FedUp, go ahead.
No, and it does have a lot of power, because we have a group like that here in my county, CPR, it's called Christian Perspective Representatives, and they only started in 2021. And they have built up, I mean, they do the Christian voter guides. They don't necessarily do partisan, but of course they come see us at the Republicans a lot, because philosophy tends to be more consistent. But they've managed, you know, to stop block a couple bad things that were going through our school boards. They've managed to back a couple candidates they've gotten elected. And you're absolutely right. I'll give you another example here in North Carolina, and it changed our whole state. Is our current head of our Supreme Court, our Paul Newby, who gave us a lot of our voter rights back. We flipped what was a Democratic court, and it started with him in a statewide vote that was 400 votes at the end of the day. One mega church would flip that, you know? And there was a lot of good movement that got those people out to vote in that race, because it was a pretty active race, because everybody knew it was so important to the state. And so you are absolutely right, and there are groups doing it, and they are very effective.
Yeah.
Well, it's an idea. I don't know why more aren't doing it.
Yeah, it's an idea. Maybe people don't know about it. So spread that. If you like that idea, it's an idea that will work. It will get votes. And ultimately, that's what we're talking about. We have to overwhelm the polls coming up in November. We have to get people out to vote. And it's going to be the most important thing coming up. And so, should we pivot to positivity at this point? Or are we going to continue to wallow in negativity? I think it's time to pivot to positivity.
I think it does depend partially on the subject. And something I will add, and I'll end on this, because somebody brought up Scott Pressler, and I I watched him on with Timcast last night, talking to Tim Pool. And one thing he brought up was about the conflicts overseas. And one thing he's been having success with, signing up young voters specifically, is bringing up is if this goes bad, you're going to war, you know, being very honest with them, you know, and talking to moms and dads, you know, your sons and daughters could be going to fight something this current government's causing. So I think it does depend on what you're talking about. And he said that's been an effective message to sign up voters. And of course, they've been signing up Republican because, you know, who's causing the current conflict. So I think positivity overall reaching is great, but there are a certain few things that occasionally you have to go, you know, hammer them with the truth. And that's what he was talking about with that, and has been seeing some success with it. And I thought that was a brilliant message.
Well, you know, I was taught years and years ago to sell the sizzle, not the steak. And I think maybe it's time to start selling the sizzle. What do we stand for? What are those things? We talked about it earlier. Those two or three things that are important: a sovereign nation with borders, which brings safety and security. We want energy independence, which brings a better economy, more family savings, a better life for you. And we want a school choice. Every kid in America should have the opportunity to have the best. It's our future. It's the future of our country. So school choice seems like a no-brainer. There should be two or three things that we can all agree on. And for just a little bit, let's put those little arguments off to the side and let's make a difference. Thanks a lot for listening. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told. I'm Booker Scott. You can hear me every night at 6 o'clock right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And don't forget, you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value. It's just thrown on the ground to be stepped on. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Unleashed, the Political News Hour. It's coming up next. Have a great night.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.